Hello and welcome to the Generation Rent podcast. My name is Connor O'Shea and I'm the Policy and Public Affairs Manager here at Generation Rent. And we are taking part in this particularly special podcast for Renters' Rights Awareness Week. So Generation Rent this week, if you're listening to it this week, is running a series of webinars to make renters more informed about their rights. If you are listening to this and there are some in advance, please do have a look on our website to see some of the other options for the content that we're producing this week, which has proven a really valuable resource for renters. Joining me to talk about the Renters Reform Bill and about the experiences of being at the party conferences over the last couple of weekends is my colleague and friend, Tom Darling from the Renters Reform Coalition. Good afternoon, Tom.
Hi, Connor. Thanks very much for having me today. I'm delighted.
Tom, could you just tell the listeners a little bit about the Renters Reform Coalition, who you are and what you sort of do?
I'd be very happy to do that. Thanks, Claire. The Renters Reform Coalition is a group of 20 leading housing organisations campaigning for pro-renter change through and beyond the Renters Reform Bills. We have a set of asks that goes well beyond what's in the bill. The groups in the coalition include homelessness charities like Shelter in Crisis, all the way through to tenant unions like Acorn, Greater Manchester Tenants Union, in the London Renters Union, and lots of other good groups in between, such as yourselves at Generation.
So if we move on to the main part of this podcast, myself and Tom were at the two main party conferences over the last couple of weekends as we recorded this. A couple of weeks ago, our time, we were in Manchester speaking to the Conservative Party, the party of government, and grilling them, if you will, on the state of the Renters Reform Bill and their commitment to rental reform more generally. We then did the same thing to the Labour Party the following weekend in Liverpool. Tom, I think we got two slightly different answers, but both of them broadly positive, I think it's safe to say, from the government and then from the opposition in the 2 weeks. What's your view on it?
Yeah, so it was a privilege to be there both of these past conferences, trying to make renters' voices heard, push for programs to change. I think it's safe to say they were different experiences. Just touch on Conservative Party conference. First, we heard something quite positive from Michael Gove. So some of the listeners may know that we have been campaigning for pro-renter change through the Renters Reform Bill. This legislation was introduced to Parliament on the 17th of May. But we've grown a little bit worried because we haven't seen since then, and in some rumors, there are Conservative backbenchers holding the bill up. And we were starting to wonder whether or not the government remained committed to this legislation. Now, Michael Gove attended a reception held by the Homelessness Trinity Shelter, Body Movements, their coalition member, by the way. He was very clear that the government will deliver a second reading, i.e. the next parliamentary stage of the Renters Reform Bill this autumn. That's a really positive commitment we got from the government there. I think there was other commitments as well from Housing Minister Rachel McLean. She made a similar commitment and she said she hopes that the government will pass the legislation for the next election, which we very much hope so too. And Connor, maybe you would want to talk about the interaction that you captured on camera between Generation Rent CEO Ben Tooney and the Secretary of State for Housing, Michael Gove.
Yes, it was quite interesting that thankfully Ben was quick off the mark and caught the Secretary of State for Housing, Michael Gove, just as he was walking between a couple of venues at the conference, right at the very end. And he managed to corner him and have a quick conversation about when the bill will be able to come, whether they could sort of nail down a date. Will it be as soon as possible, as we've sort of been promised? And he said, God willing, it will be, in fact, this autumn and before the King's Speech, which is a very important milestone for this bill in terms of its progress through Parliament. Basically, the way we look at it, it's quite difficult for that bill to get through if it doesn't happen before the King's Speech. So Michael Gove said, God willing, we can be there before then. And let's hope so. Look, Generation Rent and our colleagues in the Renters Reform Coalition will be pushing really hard for that to happen. There's basically no excuse for the government not to do it. They know how strongly the strength of feeling is amongst people who rent, and also how popular it is more broadly in the electorate. which is a thing that I think they are quite conscious of. So I really hope that they do stick to the promises that they've given us in Manchester and bring forward the bill as soon as possible.
Connor, if I might just take up my role in our duo. Obviously, the bill has been delayed because there is some concerns, conservative backbenchers with it. And there were also signs, I have to say, at Conservative Party conference that perhaps that they might struggle and the government might struggle with some of the concerns being raised with their backbenchers. It very much seems like Michael Gove is trying to having those debates behind the scenes at the moment. It'll be very interesting, to say the least, to see what the outcome of that is. But as you say, we'll be pushing everything we have to put them under pressure to deliver this legislation. They committed to it in their 2019 manifesto, and to have not delivered it in a parliamentary term is just not acceptable, and we'll be holding them to account.
You're right, Tom. It would be completely unacceptable if they didn't manage to get it through in what might be 5 years of power. But you're also right in saying that a lot of the people that we spoke to on the ground were not as positive about the bill in terms of what it contained. I spoke to a number of landlords who were at the party sort of party conference independently, not representing any organizations, and they certainly have some concerns about the bill. Although it's definitely worth noting that the big landlord organizations, those who sort of represent landlord interests, are very firm in their commitment that Section 21 has to go. And we'll be talking about what Section 21 is and what that means slightly later on. I think, Tom, it's broadly safe to say that the second conference you went to, the Labour Party conference, housing was much more on the agenda. There was a lot more to be said about housing by the Labour Party, and a lot of it was positive for renters and the prospect of rental reform, do you think?
I think that's absolutely true. There was a lot of, to use that word that everyone seemed to be using at the conference, a lot of buzz around the housing agenda. You saw it, unlike the Conservatives, you saw it mentioned on the main stage a lot. So you heard Angela Rayner talk about her upbringing and about her time in social housing, how that allowed her to get on in life. And you actually heard Keir Starmer make it a key point in his speech. Alongside that, you also had a lot of talk about housing in some of the fringes. And they were often standing room only in massive queues outside. Get in. So there was a real sense in which housing was going to be a key part of the Labour Party's offer going into the election, and then also what a Labour government would do in power. Connor, do you maybe want to talk about some of the commitments that we got from Matthew?
Yeah,
Shadow Housing Minister, and some other Labour MPs.
Definitely. The positive things that we were hearing is that Matthew Pennycook, in particular, who is the Shadow Housing Secretary. So the equivalent to Rachel McLean on the opposition benches, he was very strong in his commitment to rental reform. He said that he would support the government in bringing forward the Renters Reform Bill, that the Labour Party would vote for the Renters Reform Bill if it was brought back. And that's significant because we don't actually need the whole of the Conservative Party to vote for it to go through. There's plenty of extra wiggle room, if you will, for the Labour Party to join in and they'll get over the line. When the Conservative Party choose to do that is a different story. But I think the Labour Party saying that they are supporting the Renters Reform Bill is a good thing. Another good thing that he said, and I know, Tommy, you agree with me on this one, is that he actually thinks it doesn't go far enough, is that some of the loopholes that Generation Rent and our colleagues in the Renters Reform Coalition have been talking about since it came out, since the Renters Reform Bill was published, also need tightening. That's the Labour Party's view. That's their position. And we totally agree with him on that. So we may end up working with the Labour Party on a couple of amendments to make this bill better than it already is once we come through. It's also significant, I think, that Keir Starmer actually mentioned in his big, long keynote speech at the party conference that rents are going up in the communities. And that's an acknowledgement directly from a man who might be our next Prime Minister that rents are going up and that is a problem. And that's not something that we heard from Rishi Sunak. He didn't mention housing at all during his long speech. So it's a really positive step that Labour has specifically mentioned that rents are going up. Tom, do you have any further impressions from the Labour Party that you'd like to bring up?
No, I think that's all good. I mean, that. I'll just say that it was particularly encouraging, actually, to hear Matthew talk about the need for, and we'll come on to some of the policy stuff, but the need for measure to
protect people from economic evictions, where your rent rise is so big that it's in effect a rent rise for you and your family. So we'll come on to this, but it was really good to hear him use that language, which is some of the language that we'd actually used as the coalition, which is always nice to hear. It's proof that your messages are maybe getting through a little bit.
And they certainly are. But that's the impression. That's what I tweeted actually at one point during the conference, is that renters are being heard. Our voice is being heard. Things that we're saying about the problems in the renting sector are being listened to. Whether they're acted upon, that's a different story. And it's something that we're going to be working very hard to do. But yes, we are being heard. So Tom, you mentioned there one of the failings of the Renters Reform Bill as is. And this seems like a good segue to move across and have a discussion about the Renters Reform Bill itself, what it looks like, what the changes that it would bring about to renting would be, and also what Generation Rent and the Renters Reform Coalition would like to see differently about this bill and how we might be able to change it throughout its passage through Parliament before it becomes law. So could you give the listeners a bit of a broad overview of what's in the Renters Reform Bill that will really fundamentally change renting if it gets passed?
At the moment, in the Renters Reform Bill is the key promise to abolish what's called Section 21 no-fall evictions, which is that Section 21 of the 1988 Housing Act, which provides that a private landlord can evict their tenant at 2 months notice without giving them a reason. This is a massive ask to abolish this provision for many years for the renters movement. And that's because not only are these evictions themselves incredibly damaging, but they give landlords this power that they can hold over tenants. It's already in a very unbalanced relationship in terms of the power dynamics, but having this particular statute on the books gives landlords this power that they can lord over tenants, threaten them with a retaliatory eviction if they challenge a rent increase or do something as outrageous as ask for some of the damp or mold in their house to be fixed. So it's very important. Very important that provision is removed. So what will replace is a new system of grounds for eviction. So the reasons, essentially the reasons that a landlord will have to provide if they want to gain possession of the property, and they'll have to do that through the court system. So that tenants will have the opportunity to challenge those evictions. In addition, you'll see the end of fixed term tenancies. Open-end tenancies, we think, in the bill as it stands, without any changes being made to appease conservative backbenchers. But that was the end of fixed-term tenancies. We think this is important because we think it's very important that tenants are able to leave a tenancy that's not suitable for them, be that because it wasn't advertised, it wasn't as advertised, or because, for example, they've had a family emergency, a change of circumstances, etc. We think that's an important consumer. And that in itself can help drive up standards in the sector. And that there are other measures such as the introduction of a property portal, which is another way of describing a national register of landlords, which is something that we as the coalition have been calling for a long time. There's a private rented sector ombudsman, designed in there. We don't know much about that in terms of the detail of the bill, but will be somewhere where tenants can go to, and landlords actually can go to raise concerns they have and potentially be awarded costs, or it's there to mediate any discrepancy and issue that there is between the landlord. In addition, there will be the bill may provides to make it easier so that tenants can have pets in their homes. It doesn't quite go as far as we want in that respect, but that's another important measure that I know some listeners will be particularly keen to. So those are the main sort of bits in the bill. And we can maybe talk a bit about how we want to see it go further.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was really handy for you to point out, Tom, amongst all the good things that are in it, and most notably, that the big headline is the abolition of Section 21 no-fault evictions that we've all wanted to see, and the housing movement has wanted to see for so long. There's quite a lot that's unknown about this bill. So you mentioned the ombudsman. It basically doesn't have any details as to what's going to be in the ombudsman, what role it will play. And that's something that we would really need to see more of before we can take a position on it, really. The other one is the decent home standard. Generation Rent has been a part of a consultation process which is going to design the decent home standard. So we do know that it's coming. But again, there's no firm commitment within that it's going to be a part of this bill. So we will definitely be keeping more than one eye on that to ensure that this consultation that's been happening actually becomes a part of this renters reform bill and becomes part of the law and becomes this minimum standard for homes, for pro-rented homes that people live in. There are some things about this bill that are up in the air. So there are some things that we think might be ready to move. One of them is the position of students. So as it stands, according to the renters reform bill that we last saw, as Tom mentioned, in May, students are a part of this bill. They will have every protection that is offered by the bill, with the exception of those that live in what they call purpose-built student accommodation. So student halls that are built by the university and managed by a university sort of affiliated agent. Those students who are listening to this probably know the difference between those. And there's been a big push, I think, from the landlord lobby and from people in Parliament to say, and in fairness from some universities, to say that students shouldn't have the same rights necessarily as, maybe that's a slightly unfair way of putting it. Students should have a slightly different way of having their tenancies run than what the rest of the renting population will have. The proposal, I think, will be to say that students have a one-year fixed term, that they don't get fixed term tenancies, or that there's a specific ground in a student contract that means it can end after 1 year, so that you know that the students who are looking to go into that house next year will have the certainty to enter the home. Well, that is the argument there. There are a couple of problems that we have with that, most notably that students are definitely not a homogenous group. Students are, you know, very diverse in what they need and what they want from a home. And some students don't want to have to move out after just 8 months or 9 months of their contract. Some of them will want to stay for the longer term for whatever reason. And we will be working, if this change does go through, to ensure that the right students are targeted by this. Those who do only want to live in their home for 1 year before moving on are the only ones that are impacted by that. There are some other grounds as well that would affect everybody that we would really like to see changed, Tom. Which one of those would you like to speak about first? Which one of those is maybe the biggest priority from the Renters Reform Coalition's point of view?
Well, I can quickly run through its
priorities as the Renters Reform Coalition. They're not ordered, so I wouldn't want to put one above another necessarily. I'll try and do so without going too far into the weeds. But basically, at the moment, a landlord can still evict a tenant with only 6 months into a tenancy. They need to provide a reason, and where we can't pay to make sure that reason is approved, that they have to provide is watertight, but it can still happen after 6 months. We would like to see that provision be at least 2 years. At least 2 years, but only then will renters really get a few step change in their sort of security and longevity of tenancies. So we would definitely like to see that as a protected period for at least 2 years. And then the other thing is that when landlords are evicting tenants under the new system, they still only have to give 2 months notice. Again, we just don't think that's long enough. It's a leading cause, Section 20 of evictions for homelessness, and we think that should be longer. 4 months is what we said we should actually be. That would enable a tenant to save up some money, save up a bit more money, and also find a new home that's suitable for their needs. And another change that we want to see is around some of the grounds for eviction, which at the moment are something called mandatory grounds, which means that if a landlord invokes them, it meets the ground, they have to be awarded the property. The judge has no choice but to award a possession to the landlord. We want to see them be discretionary grounds on the basis that we think that the tenant should always be able to challenge it, and there might be good reasons why an eviction should not take place, i.e. in the most extreme circumstances, say someone has a terminal illness or something like that, it should be allowed for grounds to be able to stay in that property and not be evicted at that stage. So, and then just moving on again, another one of our things that we want to see is we want to see at the moment, if a landlord invokes those grounds for eviction and they evict a tenant, they shouldn't then be able to relet the property for 1 year. The government's ban is only 3 months. We don't think that's long enough to act as a real disincentive for landlords abusing and lying and abusing those grounds for eviction, essentially. And finally, and I think I mentioned this earlier, at the moment, the bill's provisions around rent rises are such that you can still be evicted via an unaffordable rent rise because the way that the cap, there is no cap, but the way that the only circumstance in which you can challenge an eviction and be successful is if that rent rise is above market rates, as defined by the likes of Zoopla and Rightmove, which sort of new rents on the open market are higher than initial rents. So what we're saying is that we want there to be a cap on the in-tenancy rent increases, the lowest inflation or wage growth that will prevent sort of 20%, 30%, 40% unaffordable rent increases, which are in effect no-fault eviction notices for many, many people. Michael Gove has said that level of rent increase is unacceptable. And we think he should put his money where his mouth is and put it into law and onto the statute books.
Yeah, we completely agree, Tom. That's Generation Rent is part of the Rent Reform Coalition. So obviously we are subscribed to those priorities, and Tom's laid them out really well there of what we do need to see from the bill for it to be effective, for it not to have these backdoor sort of mechanisms where landlords continue to treat tenants the way that tenants can be treated now. It's such a fundamental thing. It's an important thing for this bill to actually be effective and for it to actually improve the lives of tenants. So Tom's done a really good job there of outlining that. A couple of priorities on Generation Rent side that we'd also like to see. Tom mentioned the no let period. He mentioned the period where a landlord has kicked out a tenant or has asked a tenant to leave, and then they can't rent the property out for that amount of time afterwards. We'd obviously like to see it extended the same way that Tom and the RSE does. But what we'd also like to see is there to be a rent repayment order at that point if that's breached. So if a tenant ends up being illegally evicted, or by that I mean evicted against the spirit of these new laws, and it's found to be the case that the landlord's actually, you know, said that this was going to happen and it hasn't, and they've let it out again for a higher rate within this no let period, we think that the tenant should be compensated as well, that they should have a rent repayment order paid to them so that they can see some of the benefit of the wrong that's been done to them. And similarly, we will be calling for relocation payments for these tenants who have to leave their home through no fault of their own. Ultimately, these grounds that do exist are going to be no fault evictions all the same. For if a landlord chooses to move their family member in, or if the landlord sells the property, that's not the fault of the tenant. And we would really like to see them compensated for the move they have to make through no fault of their own. We also think an effective way of doing that is to use the property portal that we discussed earlier to make sure that all of this is publicly accessible and that the world can see, essentially, when the eviction notices have been made, whether there's a pattern. And then you can start to build on that with things like deposit claims. If a landlord evicts a tenant once a year, every year, and also makes a claim on the deposit, that looks like a pattern. And people can make an informed decision as to whether they want to go and live in that landlord's property. And the local authority will have that data as well as and when it becomes clear that a landlord's making illegal claims. That's maybe the headlines covered, Tom, for the Renters Reform Bill. But the big caveat that we sort of have to add to this is that that's the situation as is on the 12th of October when we're recording this. And ultimately, we don't know what's going to happen with this bill. We've been reassured, as we've sort of explained, that it should be coming back. If the Conservative Party and the government are to be believed, this bill will be coming back this autumn and there'll be progress. And over the course of that progress, there will probably be amendments and changes like the ones that Tom and I have been discussing about what we'd like to see, but maybe also some that may favour landlords more than that we will obviously be fighting for tenants' rights as and when those occur. But there's no guarantee that this bill will actually go through. We really hope that it does, and the government have told us that it will. And there's certainly no guarantee on timelines when it will become the law. So it's really important to know that even though these changes are coming, they should be coming, where they aren't in place right now. So the current law still does exist until it's superseded by this Residence Reform Bill. Tom, I'm not sure if there's any final words you'd like to add, or whether we can get this out to the people.
No, just just stay engaged, I guess. You could look us up as the Residence Reform Coalition, and we'd love to hear from your shell story, case studies and that sort of thing. But stay engaged. Don't be too downbeat at the continued delays. And thanks very much for listening.
Tom, that's normally my role to play the optimist and say just not to say downbeat. Yeah. But you're absolutely right. There's positive things that have been said over the course of the last week. And if this bill comes in, even if it's not absolutely perfect, it will make fundamentally positive changes to tenants' lives. And me and Tom and all of our colleagues across the coalition and within Generation Rent, we'll be working really hard to make that a reality over the course of the next probably year or so until the next general election, and then beyond then as well. So Tom, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you as always. And just to say on behalf of Generation Rent, thank you for taking time to listen to this podcast and for engaging in Renters' Rights Awareness Week. If there's still some events on while you listen to this podcast, please do go to generationrent.org and have a look and see if there's any of these webinars can help you make more informed decisions about your renting future. We've got experts, we've got Generation Rent colleagues, and we've got opportunities for you to speak about your experiences too. And we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you there. So go along to generationrent.org and have a look for those. Tom, once again, thanks a million. You've been a pleasure as always. Take care.